Well, what about the threat posed by Saddam Hussein? That's real. That threat peaked in the late 1980s, thanks to our support. That's the time when he was most threatening and most powerful. There's a measure of how great the threat was. That was at the in the he was then at war. He had attacked Iran with our support, and there was a war going on. He was unable to defeat Iran. That's a country which had just decimated its officer corps and top military at the time of the revolution, Khomeini revolution, the revolution which led to Khomeini. Even with the Iranian military largely decimated, Iraq was unable to defeat them with the support of the United States, Russia, Britain, Western Europe, and the Arab states. So that gives you a measure of the threat at its peak. But the U.S. Today, in comparison, Iraq is, well, as Charlie Glass again wrote in a recent article, the Iraqi army is approximately back to what it was when the British established it as a means to suppress the population violently so that the rulers would be able to export oil to the West and ensure that the profits go to the West, not to the people of the region. That's the role of most of the armies in the Middle East. And the Iraqi army is about back to that level. Its equipment is antiquated. It's far weaker than it was. A lot of the weapons have been destroyed, not so much by bombing, but by the inspection system, which has destroyed a lot of weapons, and of course by the destruction of the economy. So yes, it's a threat. It was a much greater threat 10 years ago. And how did the U.S. and Britain react to the threat at its peak? Well, I've already mentioned it, but the main reaction was to increase the threat. That was the reaction at the peak of the threat. And the U.S. took it very seriously. You want to remember how serious it was? Bear in mind that Iraq in May, I think, 1987, Iraqi missiles struck the U.S. destroyer Stark, killing 37 sailors, 37 personnel, and they got a kind of tap on the wrist, but that's it. That shows you you're really committed to somebody. What was the U.S. Stark doing there? Well, the U.S. Navy at that time was being introduced into the Gulf to back up Iraq and support him in the war against Iran and, of course, in his war against his own population. That continued. That alliance strengthened. A year later, in July 1988, a U.S. warship, the Vincennes, shot down an Iranian commercial airliner just taking off from Iranian airport. A commercial airliner killed 290 people. Was plainly in a commercial check corridor. In fact, the ship was in Iranian territorial waters. That was taken seriously, too. By that point, Iran recognized the reality. They might be able to fight a war with Iraq, but they could not fight an Iraqi-U.S. alliance. And with the U.S. Navy now acting aggressively, and the head of the U.S. claimed, it's not credible, that it's not taken very seriously, that it was mistaken for an Iranian military plane, but the Iranian Air Force pointed out right away that the U.S. was not shooting down low-flying Iraqi planes, which were very visible and indeed were warplanes. One of them even attacked the Star. Iran recognized at the time that the game is over. They can't, and they essentially capitulated shortly after that. Well, that's the peak of the Iraqi threat, thanks to our contribution. And Saddam, in fact, used his increased power very quickly. 5 days after the ceasefire, he turned to another major gas attack against Kurds in the north. 5 days after the ceasefire, the U.S. reaction I've already described. Okay. Well, just put this together, and we've now at least eliminated one candidate for what the motives were, namely the candidate that is universally presented without question and with great vigor and force. We know, as well as we know anything, that one can't be correct. just on grounds of elementary logic. As I said, it's an instructive exercise. You might try to see how often this little exercise in elementary logic has been carried out in the Fuhrer about, the Beast of Baghdad. So, for example, during the latest bombings, it's interesting. I think you already know the answer without looking, but it's worth finding out. And it raises questions about the world in which we live, most of us live, you know, the world that's symbolized by Harvard Square, the world of sort of, you know, thought, thinking, and, you know, high minds, and analysis, and so on and so forth. You can think about it, and it's worth thinking about because it's significant. That has to do with what reaches the public, how it reaches the public. If this is being concealed, what does it tell you? All right, let's go on to that.